I was born in 1980. John Lennon died in 1980, but he decided to come back to life in 1984, and now he has a podcast called Questions for Lennon. It's on Stitcher Premium. It is one of the funniest things you've ever heard, and a terrific Lennon impression. Or, I mean, maybe it really is John Lennon. I don't know. So if you've got a query, or you need some life advice, and you're not close enough with me to ask me, the next best friend you could go to for help is John Lennon. So you can listen to John Lennon, played by comedian Mike Hanford, as he teams up with guests like Lauren Lapkus and Paul F. Tompkins to answer questions sent in by you, the listener. And if you didn't send in questions, then it's not by you, it's by people like you. Got it? The new season of Questions for Lennon is out now exclusively on Stitcher Premium. For a free month of Stitcher Premium, go to stitcherpremium.com/Lennon and use promo code WOLFDEN. That's stitcherpremium.com/Lennon and promo code WOLFDEN. Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I'm your host, Lex Friedman. Today, our guest is Danielle Kramer, the senior producer of Exactly Right Network. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, but you may say nothing else about yourself just yet, because first, we have to do shows we're jealous of, where we highlight shows we like so much we wish we ourselves had made them. Danielle, do you have a show you're jealous of?
I do. Conan's new show just started, Earwolf. I'm super jealous of that show.
Why?
Oh, my gosh. I grew up on Conan, just watching Conan every night.
Was he okay? And, oh, I see. You mean metaphorically. Got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really exciting seeing that they brought that on over to the Earwolf Network. And, yeah, I've seen them pop into the studio a few times, and they have really fantastic guests on already. So, yeah, I'm super jealous of Conan.
As we're recording this week, Adam Sandler was the guest in the episode that came out today. And it's such a good conversation. What I love about, I mean, I actually cited Conan as a show I was jealous of a few weeks back. I love how he's doing everything on the show. I love the way the segments exist, and I love his ad reads. And I'm, of course, biased.
Yeah,
but they're so
great.
Good.
It's so perfect. It's just like very much Conan. It's awesome seeing him completely involved on all elements and all aspects of the show.
I once sat in the studio with him as he recorded the ads. He's like, how long does this one have to be? And they're like, 20 seconds. And then 4 minutes later, he's like, okay, I'm done with that one. Not everybody host can get away with that, but Conan can get away with that. I am jealous of Arden. I don't know a ton about the Arden podcast in terms of who's making it or what's going on there. I believe, but it is a parody of true crime podcasts. And we've talked about several of those on this show, but it is really funny. And one of the conceits of the show that is not too much of a spoiler, you can go to ardenpodcast.com to find it, is that in the first episode, you find out that the two co-hosts on the show hate each other. One has been foisted on the other. And that dynamic is quite amusing to me. So I'm enjoying Arden podcast. So I recommend
as characters or in real life, they
characters,
hate each other.
Characters. Okay. So the whole thing is scripted. It's really a brilliantly done navel-gazy true crime investigation situation. And it's just very funny. Very funny.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll check that out.
So Danielle Kramer, you are, as we said, the senior producer of Exactly Right Network. We're going to get to that soon, but let's start from the beginning. Let's start with origin stories. You first worked at Nerdist in the audio space. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
How did you end up there?
Well, I had a really quick job before that in comedy that was at whenever I first moved to Los Angeles. I worked at Flappers Comedy Club. Which was quite
Where did you
an
move
experience.
To LA from?
I originally started in Ohio where I met my husband, and we started getting our education there. I studied art, and my husband was studying screenwriting. Then we moved to Chicago and lived there for about 4 or 5 years. I got my master's in library science, and I was working as an archivist. And then my husband, when he completed his studies in Chicago, we ended up moving out to Los Angeles so he could pursue screenwriting. And then I was working in the library field still. I worked at the Huntington Library whenever I first moved here.
Oh, wow.
And on the side, my husband and I, we just kind of got involved in the theater. We were here at the right time. Nerd Melt Theater in the back of Meltdown Comics had just started. They had a show going on. The Meltdown was in the back of this comic book shop like once a month. And then it
so cool.
grew to once a week. And then it grew into a full-size theater. And when we first moved here and first started going to those shows, we hit up Emily Gordon, who was running the space at that time, and asked her if she needed any help. So I started volunteering and doing PR work for the theater, and my husband was doing, house management. And then a year in, Emily Gordon passed the keys on to us, and wow. I became the program director of that space, and my husband became the stage manager. And we ran that space for 2.5 years and put on so many amazing live shows and podcasts and
with a very heavy comedy focus, like an alt comedy focus. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you went to the day job at the time at the library, and since you were one of the funny ones, did they refer to you as a library card? Most of the time on the show now, I make jokes to see Harry's pained reaction.
Lots of puns.
Yeah.
When I was in Chicago, I worked at the Art Institute of Chicago there, and I was in the study room a lot of times, and I was goofing off quite a bit, and I got shushed a lot, and they started making up general rules for quiet time that obviously only applied to me. That they were, telling the whole staff everyone has to be quiet. Yeah. I've always been way more social than most of the librarians in the field. So,
it
was a natural switch.
One of your proudest nerd melt moments, something that you were responsible for there.
Let's see. We had so much fun. The best times that I had there, every year we had a big party. It's Howard Kramer's Summerfest, and it was a big free party that we gave to the community and all the comedians and our audience members, and we would rent a water slide and put it in the back parking lot, and we would have free drinks and DJs, and we would have a big comedy show at the end, have ice cream sponsors and all kinds of fun stuff. So that was the funnest times ever.
Is part of the reason you love that because you and Howard have at least homophone last names?
Yes, yes.
Just
Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, that's much better than what I did. That's good. So from Nerdist and Nerd Melt, you moved on to Jash. Can you talk a little bit about Jash?
Yeah, Jash. That was another thing where it was just Emily Gordon got offered a position at Jash, and she wasn't able to take it at the time. And she was like, hey, would this interest you? So she connected me with Daniel Kellison over at Jash. And that was a comedy network that was founded by Sarah Silverman, Reggie Watts, Tim and Eric, Michael, Sarah. It was just kind of their digital playground where they could make their, short films and music videos and anything that, they weren't doing in the television space. So I got hired there to book a television pilot. So I was doing booking for that. And it was only supposed to last 2 or 3 months. And I saw that they could use help in the development area. So I was like, hey, let me help you out with some of the stuff. Just what do you guys need? What are you looking for? And I just kind of made myself useful. And they moved me in to the development department. And I just stayed. So I did a lot of development work with them. And then I also ran all of their live events. We did Jash office parties. I booked a lot of stuff that was going on at other festival spots. And then we eventually created our own festival called Jash Fest, where we hosted this 3-day party where we had music and film screenings for stuff that Jash had produced, with short films and music videos and web series and that type of thing. We had stand-up comedy. It was really fun. So that was the thing that I was most proud of in my time at Jash, was really getting to bring everyone together at this big party out in the middle of the desert and showcase all of the fun stuff that we worked on.
That's very cool. And that eventually leads to where you are now, which is Exactly Right. And your official title is you're the senior producer of Exactly Right Network. First, let's start with, what is the Exactly Right Network?
The Exactly Right Network is the brand new network that My Favorite Murder founded. So we are the kind of through line. We're trying to find just podcasts that the My Favorite Murder audience will really love, and kind of beyond that. We want to offer people...
Let's pause for 1 second, just in case. If folks listen to The Wolf Den aren't yet familiar with My Favorite Murder, it is one of literally the biggest podcasts on the planet. And it's Karen and Georgia, two delightfully funny women telling each other stories about real true crime murders and doing so hilariously. Is that a fair description?
Yes, that's a very fair description. Yes. Karen and Georgia are amazing. They're so fun to work with. I met them through the theater back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Georgia was making crazy weird martinis for our comedy shows. She had a McNugget martini where she had it was a McDonald's themed thing with barbecue sauce and a milkshake martini with a garnish of a chicken McNugget, like doing that type of like weird space in stuff in our comedy space.
Yeah.
So I just met her from back then, and then Karen had performed at the comedy space as well. So when I was done at Jash, I put out something on social media saying that I was looking for my next project, and Georgia saw that like and hit me up the very same day, and I'm so thankful that she found me because they've been so fun to work with.
This is why you should get your heroes to follow you on Twitter.
Yes.
That's the key takeaway. So I want to talk more about this, but I want to take a very quick break and we'll be right back. Do you ever sit here listening to The Wolf Den and think to yourself, man, I wish I worked at a company that was as cool as Stitcher sounds? Guess what? You can work right here at Stitcher. If you go to stitcher.us/careers, you'll see all the jobs we have open. And my friends, there are plenty. However, this specific spot was requested by the marketing team. So I want you to know we're looking for a marketing intern, an associate marketing manager, and a manager of listener lifecycle marketing. I'm personally looking for a manager of Lex's lifecycle marketing, but that role doesn't pay very well. If you want to learn more about those jobs or any others here, go to stitcher.us/careers. One more time, it's stitcher.us/careers. This episode of The Wolf Den is brought to you by Fatherhood. I'm a dad. I have two girls, Anya and Sierra. They're Girl Scouts and they're selling cookies. I couldn't pick which girl you should buy cookies from, so if you go to lexfriedman.com/Girl Scouts, you'll get randomly redirected to one of their two Girl Scout cookie buying pages. And yeah, they can ship right to your house. That's lexfriedman.com/Girl Scouts. We're back with Danielle Kramer. She is the senior producer at Exactly Right Network, the new podcast network from MFM hosts Karen and Georgia. And you were saying before the break how you kind of tweeted out that you were looking for your next gig, and they saw and they brought you in. And you were starting to explain, before I'd interrupt you to explain what MFM was, the idea behind Exactly Right. Can you explain that some more?
Yeah, Exactly Right. Well, My Favorite Murder is kind of it's like a true crime and comedy type podcast. So a lot of our audience, we do want to find really great comedy podcasts and true crime podcasts, but we're also expanding beyond that to offer more things that we think that they'll enjoy. So like This Podcast Will Kill You is a perfect example. We just really love the hosts. They're super funny. Aaron and Aaron, they have great personalities. And Karen described it best for what we're looking for. It's having a dinner party. We're inviting everyone over, and we want to invite a table of guests who all offer something unique and will bring great conversation to the table. So, whatever it is that we're talking about, you know, we could talk about pretty much anything or any kind of format, as long as we really love our host's voice and think that will contribute well to our overall family that we have growing here.
I have lots of questions on this. Taking a, yes, not a full step back, but like a half step back. MFM is hugely popular with women. There, yes, is no, well, let me turn this into a question. Why do you think that is? Why is MFM such a hit? Why are most murderinos female?
They address the topic with much more empathy than I think a lot of other true crime podcasts have. And they are so true to themselves. They're very honest and open. And I think that women really connect with that more so, I guess, than men might. But I mean, women we have to worry about walking to our cars and walking down the street, and we really think about, you know, being murdered a lot more than I think maybe men often do. So I think that Karen and Georgia really approach that topic, you know, from that side of things, from that part of the conversation.
Interesting. And so now I will say this, demographically, most true crime shows running the podcasting gamut skew female. MFM skews even more female. And I think, to your point, it's the way they're approaching it. It's the rapport between Karen and Georgia, and it's the kind of humor they're using, and it's all those things. Anytime I've attended a couple different MFM live shows, and there's always some men in the audience, and everybody's having a fantastic time. But it's amazing just how I don't know the exact demographic split, although I could actually look it up, but it's very, very heavily female. Is the goal of Exactly Right to reach that same audience? Do I have to be an MFM fan to be a fan of other Exactly Right Network shows?
No, we want to expand beyond. We definitely want to make sure that we're giving our core audience things that they love, but we want to bring in more people outside of that world. We're not just for women. We have a lot of different, I mean, we have some shows with male hosts coming up, and we aren't always going to skew, you know, to the female side of things. We want to be really inclusive, and we want our podcast to be for everyone. But we really are speaking to a large existing audience that is female. So we do want to make sure that they mm-hmm. are happy and engaged.
What's the through line? You mentioned that it's got to be a voice that you love, but what makes a show an exactly right show?
I feel like the magic of the host. That's really what I'm looking for. I want to make sure that we have, you know, hosts that obviously really are engaged with what they're talking about. They're excited, they're passionate, and that the co-hosts, if there's two people, making sure that they have really great chemistry. It's really just about, you know, are they all in on this topic? Are they super passionate about it and excited about that? Because the audience at home will really feel that. So that's really what I look for. And I want to make sure, you know, we have like, we're not doing a podcast format that's been done 1,000 times unless it's like the best of the best. So we're also looking for really unique formats.
I should acknowledge Midroll sells MFM's ads, and we are partners within, you know, Stitcher is a partner with Exactly Right Network. So disclosing that, yes. It's not journalism, folks. It's information. It's infotainment. Yes. That's what we do here, right? So let's talk about some of the other, you mentioned This Podcast Will Kill You. Talk about Do You Need a Ride? What's that?
Do You Need a Ride? Yeah, that's Karen Kilgariff and Chris Fairbanks have a podcast where they go and pick up people from the airport. That's how it originally started. I don't think that they exclusively do LAX. That's just torture. So they just pick up a comedian and, you know, drive around and have great conversation. But yeah, Karen and Chris are old friends and sing songs and have a real silly fun time. So you'll see like the sillier, more comedic side of Karen on that podcast.
It's a little bit like Taxi Cab Confessions, except with less anonymity.
Yes.
And they know what's happening. And what is the Purrcast?
The Purrcast. That
is... Oh, you said it better than I did. I want to try again. What is the Purr... Nope. What is the Purrcast? Nope. I'm going to have to stick with you. Say it one more time.
The Purrcast.
Good.
So the Purrcast is Stephen Ray Morse and Sarah Iyer. Stephen is the engineer for My Favorite Murder. So we were excited to bring in Stephen's family. So, you know, he does the Purrcast. He's had that going for a couple years now. So, yeah, we brought that on. They talk about cats and all things cat issues and bring on comedians and people from the cat world, Instacats of all kinds, to talk about their love of cats and now, everything in that world.
The show predates Exactly Right Network, but do you know the origin story of how they decided the precise number of R's in the name Purrcast?
I do not. I'll have to follow up on that.
I'm just, for no real reason other than I have a cat story, I'm very allergic to cats, so I have like cat anger. It's the one animal I really can't be around. I know when they walk in the room, even though I'm in the house, it gets even worse when they come into that same room. But There was a time in my career when I was writing for Macworld about technology. I was writing about iPhone apps, iPad apps, news, all that sort of stuff. And a company came out with an app called, I believe it was called Cat Photo. And it allowed you to take pictures with your phone and then insert both cats and lasers into those pictures. And it was clearly a silly app. But it was right at the time of Apple's big app campaign, their big TV campaign for apps. And so in my article that I wrote, if you know you need more of a feline presence in your photos, there's a cat for that. And that line was very beloved at Macworld. And then they did a slideshow of all the staff with different cats superimposed on the photos from that app. So I just...
Very nice.
I could never appear on the Purrcast. I'm not enough of a cat person, but that is my one connection to the feline species.
Nice.
The Fall Line. Tell us about the Fall Line.
The Fall Line is a true crime podcast that focuses on the underserved communities. It started out in Georgia, but now they're doing just the wider southern region of America. So there are people of color and from the LGBT community who their cases aren't solved. They're left open or they were closed prematurely. So they're using their podcast to shine light on those cases to help find, you know, to help find resolution for these families. And the hosts are really delightful. They don't like to talk about, they don't like their names mentioned. They really just want to put the stories out there first and foremost, which I think is, you know, a really great positive thing too. But they're very sweet, and I'm really thrilled to be working with them on the network.
That's awesome. Now, that's four shows we've covered. Do You Need a Ride, The Percast, The Fall Line, This Podcast Will Kill You. Are there more shows coming to the Exactly Right Network?
Yes, there are. So we don't have anything that we can talk about yet, but we have more originals that are going to be coming out.
It's funny because Danielle really and I are on many email chains at work about some of those shows. So she knows I know the answer to that question.
Yes. But yeah, we have, you know, some really great comedy podcasts. We have some true crime originals. And we're kind of expanding out beyond beyond those topics. But yeah, we have a lot of originals coming out that we're just really excited to share. As soon as they're ready, we'll let you guys know.
And some of those announcements have to be coming soon if we can ever get some of those email chains to resolve.
Yes, I hope so. Yes.
Okay. And I guess, are you soliciting submissions, or do you have a full enough slate on Exactly Right's development calendar right now?
Well, we do. We have like a flood of submissions. We're going through those things. We like to take solicited submissions. It's hard with the flood that's coming in from social media and all angles there. But yeah, we do have quite a bit that we're working through right now. We don't have a formal submission process, unfortunately.
I get it. It's all, I mean, listen, I understand. But I will say this. In just a moment, we're going to hit you up for advice for aspiring podcasters. So even if they aren't right for Exactly Right, they're exactly right for something. And you can talk to them about that in a moment. But what is fan reaction been? What is the audience kind of telling you so far about how they feel about Exactly Right? Do fans get it? Are they confused? Or like, what is this thing? Or what are you hearing?
Oh, fans are so positive. My Favorite Murder has a really engaged audience, and they are, it's like what you hear about the trolls of the internet, the wave of negativity that like is out there. It's like the exact opposite of that. It's just this wave of love and positivity, and people are giving suggestions for their favorite podcasts and support to the hosts, reaching out to the hosts. So it's been such a really amazing positive experience online. So we're very thankful for the reaction and the support of all of the fans.
How cool is that? Well, so it is that time. A lot of aspiring podcasters, existing podcasters listen to The Wolf Den, podcast producers. So I always like to ask guests to share some advice. You know this because I'm sure, Danielle, you're a regular listener to The Wolf Den, how you've had so much success in podcasting, I'm guessing. But is there something that you know now that you wish you had known when you were starting out in podcasting? Is there something that you'd say, like the key piece of advice that aspiring podcasters should know for success in this medium?
Well, I think first and foremost, you need to learn how to, you know, sell and market yourself. Like, your podcast is your product, and you have to be excited and believe in yourself before you ask other people to do that. And being able to, you know, write clearly and succinctly about what your podcast is and what you aim to do with it. When I'm vetting pitches, I'd like to see, you know, why would we do a podcast with these hosts? Who are these hosts? What do you do? What's your past work? What are your passions? And how does that apply to this show? And if really it's like hard to just read on paper, if there's any, it really does help if there is any kind of recording. It doesn't have to be like a fancy finished pilot, but to get an understanding of, you know, who the voice of the hosts is really important as well. But yeah, I think, you know, creating really, you know, easy to read at a glance materials about yourself, just like who, what, when, where, why, you know, why is this going to be a great fit for our network? It's like any other, like applying to any other job. You know, you want to make sure that you know about the podcast network that you're applying to, or your audience who you're going to be speaking to. And, you know, be able to explain why your podcast is going to be the best fit for that audience and that network.
That's really good. And for some reason, it made me think about advice that I think about that's not actually directly related at all, but it feels to me like it's the same universe of advice, which is, as you start making the show, even though most shows will start small, you don't have to act like it's small, right? I never like those shows where they make The comments about, you know, I know there's only tens of you listening, or if you allow yourself the permission to be sloppy because you know that it's a smaller audience, I don't like that stuff. It is okay to be proud and excited, and you should treat your show like it's got hundreds of thousands of listeners, because that's the only way that you'll give it the respect that a show that size needs to attain that size, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fake it till you make it. That's great advice.
Yeah, it's pretty much the story of my professional career.
Yeah.
Well, this has been excellent, but we don't only answer questions from me on this show. We also answer questions from listeners.
The Wolf Den Mailbag. Don't be happy, don't be sad. Just sit back and enjoy this week's Wolf Den Mailbag.
You can email us, wolfden@midroll.com, if you have a question of your own. This week's question comes from Donna Noble. Donna says, with Dirty John and Homecoming both doing so well on TV, what is it about these stories that work so well on TV? Bonus question, what's a podcast you wish would get a TV show? Danielle, do you have thoughts on this? What is it about Dirty John, Homecoming that make them work well, not just as podcasts, but as TV too?
I mean, if you're going to make it into something with visuals, like what are you going to bring to that story that people will want to see outside of listening to the podcast? So I think, you know, any element that you can add to the story through, you know, whether it's like A-list actors or, you know, I don't know, you're moving it from an audio to a visual podcast. So whatever you're doing in that new visual space, I think should be worth listeners' efforts to watch it again.
I think that's exactly right. No pun intended. It comes up all the time for me. I realize I say that phrase all the time, and I constantly think I'm doing guerrilla marketing for the network, but I think there are a lot of podcasts where you don't need a visual, right? That's the whole reason that audio works, and you can think about it and understand it. But when there's a story to tell that is so compelling and so moving that it can translate to other mediums, I think that's okay. Like I like even, you know, consuming, some people don't like reboots and remakes, and I kind of like seeing a new take on the same story because I think that's interesting. And I always, I don't care if I see the book first, if I read the book first or see the movie first, but if there's one of each, I'm going to see both. Even if I know how the story is probably going to end in whichever one I haven't seen, like I like the journey. I like how the story gets told. And I think that with podcasts that have strong visual elements, it makes sense for them to go to TV. Now, how about the harder part though? What's a podcast that you'd love to see a TV version of? And you may not pick any MFM related shows.
Oh God, I'm bad at this. I feel like the kind of podcasts that I often listen to aren't really conducive. There's like, I haven't really delved too much. I think scripted podcasts are probably the easiest thing to translate, and I don't have a very wide. I can't think of anything that I was really excited about. I can tell you the opposite of a visual show that I absolutely adore that I would love to see turned into a podcast.
Yes, we'll take that. It's a cheap.
I don't know if this is on brand for My Favorite Murder. So if someone steals my idea, but there is a horror host called Joe Bob Briggs who does film. It's like a late night movie, dinner and a movie type thing on television. And he's been doing it for so many years on TV. And Shudder just reopened it again, where they have him for like Halloween or for Christmas. They do like 24-hour movie marathons with Joe Bob doing like this late night character in between. And he is an encyclopedia of knowledge about film history and everything else that you can think of. And I love hearing him talk, and I could listen to him talk at length. And these little interstitials in between these movies are so short, and I end up watching movies like that I've seen already a million times just to get these little interstitials of him. So if anyone out there can make a podcast with Joe Bob Briggs, I am on.
If anyone out there in my hundreds of thousands of listeners,
yes.
I'm going to actually float what I think regular Wolf Den listeners may remember as my favorite podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern, which is a improvised fantasy fictional podcast. And I think that a lot of people might listen to that show and think, oh, that's perfect for animation since there are so many mythical characters. I actually have loved every time I've seen that show live, just seeing the humans doing their thing. And I would prefer to see a televised version of the show that was pretty much akin to what E! Used to air with Howard Stern's radio show, right? Like, I would just love to see them making the show because they are clearly having so much fun. And just kind of watching them do their magic, just a video companion. to that podcast, I'd be super into. So that's yeah. my recommendation.
I actually got a pitch for that show back whenever I was working at Jash. So I was really excited to see that someone was able to make that.
That was me, by the way.
Great
listen,
job.
When a podcast you love is like, hey, can we come to you? My inclination is to say yes. Yes. There's not that many perks with my job, but that's one of them. Remember, if you have a question for the Wolf Den mailbag, you can email us at wolfden@midroll.com with your question, and we'll do our very best to answer it. So listen, Danielle, this has been excellent. Where can Wolf Den listeners follow you online?
Well, I don't post a lot, but I'm on all platforms at Danielle N. Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R.
Not like Howard. And where should they go to learn more about Exactly Right?
You can follow us at most socials are at Exactly Right. And then exactlyrightmedia.com is our website. It's where you can find all of our shows and links to all of our social media.
Because the guy who owns exactlyright.com is an extortion artist.
Oh, I know. We tried so hard.
Danielle, thank you so much for making time for Wolf Den. Thanks also to Harry Nelson and Jared O'Connell. I believe it's engineer Ryan, you said, helping out in LA. So thanks to him. The Wolf Den mailbag theme is by Casey Holford. You can subscribe to this show at earwolf.com, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts, and you can rate us in your favorite app. Thanks again to Danielle, and thanks again to you, dear listener.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.